sorry for the delay. Here's the episode.
So, you know, when you ring sometimes and I'm having a sleep down by the bay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I'm doing the podcast from today.
You're in your car. I can see that.
Yeah, this is a little dips my lid to a little tribute to the afternoon. This is a different spot, actually. This is a little bit further up from where I have a sleep. This is the next car park up, and I reckon this is a car park where people having affairs sometimes meet, because you often see a couple come down, they'll park, and then he or she will get out, and then they'll drive off. You know what I mean? He'll drive off in his car, she'll drive off in hers. Or I'll also see people doing the kid pass over, the passing the kids over for the afternoon. I reckon I saw a drug deal here as well. There was someone, and when you sit here just looking, you do feel like a surveillance cop, you know, you feel like you're, and this guy was looking at me going, thinking I was filming him. I thought, I'm going to get in trouble. He's going to come out and shoot me or something in a minute. But, yeah, so it's amazing if you just sit and look. And I'm also guilty of doing the big one, a bit of car eating. I just had lunch.
In the car.
Checked my lap and it wasn't pretty. No, there's a lot of chicken sandwich, a lot of crumbs down there. And I had to actually get out of the car and sweep down the seat, and it wasn't good. But anyway, were you going to say?
How many cars are there now? Are there any cars there now? Or?
Oh, there were lots.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people walking past. There's probably 12 cars. There's a couple over there just sitting looking at the water.
I rang you once.
Look, there you go. There you go.
Oh, wow. Hang on. I'll take a photo.
Do you want to take a photograph of my view?
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
Hang
on a second. Yep. Let's take another photo. I'm taking a video. Oh, that's beautiful.
There's a couple of, what do you call it, sky windsurfers out there. A couple of cargo ships going past. And up there, a couple of drug deals going on. So there you go.
That's quite a gig. See, when I talk to you and you're down there, I always thought it would be a secluded, bushy area where, you know, you'd see a person just come out of the bushes occasionally. But that's quite a built up, like a paved.
Oh, no.
It's paved and everything.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, anyone who sits in an area like you're describing, you know, he's probably up to no good.
Yeah. Remember I called you once?
It's up front. I do wind the seat back a little bit. Put my glasses on. A kid knocked on the window and said, "You're a support."
Yeah, that's right. I remember I rang you. Yeah, there was some kid knocking on your window.
Well, I was in, you know, I was in the four-wheel drive with the Russell Court on the door, so it was fairly reasonable that he would. Anyway.
Isn't it interesting because people that don't live by the beach don't have that that area to go to, because that is a real natural place for you know, people that are working, salesmen, for example, or tradies that need somewhere to stop and eat their lunch. It is a perfect place. Yeah. And you know where we have where I don't live near the beach, but near me, they park near the creek here and sit near the park. You see them all at lunchtime. Yeah. Well, you know, Bert Newton, a great friend of ours, said one of his greatest joys is getting a barbecue chicken and going sitting by the river and eating it in his car.
Yeah, but we have also talked about the type of eating that car eating is, and it's not a pretty sight because you're assuming that nobody can really see you. And, you know, if you sort of caught a glimpse of yourself in the mirror, it's not pretty. And then,
and it's
food often, all around your mouth.
And it's often unhealthy food, like Bert's barbecue chicken in a bag by the river.
What happens in the car stays in the car is kind of, I think, what you're thinking unconsciously, but it's not true. But coming from, where are you?
The playroom, we call it. Yeah, you can see.
Yeah.
I put up a photo before. There's all, you know, there's been this thing lately where people like Gideon Hay, who's like a cricket writer, and they had a photo of him in the paper, and he's got wall-to-ceiling bookshelves. It's just all books. It looks very impressive, you know, when he does Zoom crosses and stuff. But look at me. Yeah. I've got like, I'll take a photo of what's behind me. I've got dollhouses and just kids' games and stuff.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, Because you're one of these people, you read a book and you give it away. You're the right type of person.
I don't hang on to books.
What's the point of me hanging on to it? And they're a status symbol. Like you're going, unless you're doing some sort of research, which would be, you could do that online. You don't need that big pile of books. And if you go to the Brotherhood places now, they go, no more books. We don't want it. We're full enough books now. So, yeah. You know.
Well, you got as soon as you see someone like Gideon, the thought does cross your head, what a wanker, because but also to go from the ceiling to the floor, that's kind of excessive, isn't it?
That is the classic library look, isn't it? You know what would be the worst? Would you have one of those ladders that slid across? Those ladders where you have to, yeah. You got to go, oh, wow, that's serious bookkeeping there. Wow, you got to go up a ladder to get that one. That Shakespearean play back from whenever.
Exactly.
Anyway, right. Our places aren't like that. No, we've just got a few old magazines, a few toys and, whatever. And yeah. I was doing a thing for Peter Rosenbaum the other day. And we went into the mining community because they don't get much outside. You know,
yeah.
They sort of work 12 hours a day and then they're in their rooms because
of Zoom. I've done a few Zoom gig. Yeah.
And it was really interesting because I guess it wasn't that interesting, but Russell Coit came up and I just got up and went to the cupboard and pulled out the Russell Coit outfit and put it on in front of them, which was kind of weird, but you know. And then Uncle Arthur came up. So I went to the other cupboard and pulled Uncle Arthur out. And then I was doing it with Danny Green and Danny goes, oh, I'm a big Uncle Arthur fan, and I'm doing Uncle Arthur. You know, I gave them the full. They got the full deal. Eh?
You're like a web girl. You're like a web girl doing requests.
That's right, we are. Yeah, we're a couple of web boys right now. Here comes the music.
Yeah, thank God.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now, please welcome your hosts Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Anyway, welcome to the podcast. We are still Zooming.
I know it'll be long before we're allowed out.
Yeah. Well, it's good news.
Back in the studio.
Good news for you, because in Victoria from tonight, I thought of you straight away, golfing and surfing are now allowed.
Let's be honest, I'm not missing out on anything now. I'm pretty well back on. So, you know, I can get out of the house and do two of those things and have a pretty good time. But the golf booking system is one booking system for all of Australia, I think. So it just crashed last night. Yeah. Ticket sales were, they all went very quickly. But we managed to get on, and I'm playing tomorrow with Mick Malloy another friend of ours, and looking forward to that. And the first time I've seen those guys for a long time. So looking forward to it.
A lot of fun. But massage parlors are still closed, so you can't kick on with Mick, if you know what I mean. You can't kick on afterwards. But then that's what you do, you tend to do. You kick on, you know.
I'm going to write a book, seriously, touring with Mick. I've got so many good stories.
Yeah, he's so funny. The thing about Mick, he's the real deal. It's not a put-on. It's all real.
Yep. It's real as. And what he does actually happened. And I can vouch for that because it's actually there.
All right, well, let's get our topics. It's Mick Malloy and drinking. Oh, that's a hard one. Okay, what are the topics, Sam?
Saluting and medieval knights.
Wow. Huh. Wow.
Well, you can come in pretty. What is it? I started scout. As a cub and went through to a scout. Do you start as, do you come through the cubs?
Yeah. Cub. So, I was a cub, a scout, a venturer, and a rover. Okay. So rover goes to the age of 26. When I did radio with Hughie and Kate for a long time, when there was ever a lull in a conversation, Hughie would go, "Tell us again how old you were when you left scout." I'm like, "All right, I was 23, Hughie."
If I was to go through one of your old suitcases, would I find the outfit?
No. My dad still got his. Dad was a scout leader. He still got his. I've got a few scarves. I've got my gang show scarf somewhere.
And you've got a woggle?
Yeah, I got a woggle. Yeah, woggle and a toggle.
Toggle.
A woggle. A woggle is the thing that you put the scarf in, like when you have a serviette and you have a serviette holder. You know that's what a woggle does.
That's your woggle.
A toggle. Yep. Correct me if I'm wrong, all the scouts listening. The toggle is the thing that hangs off it, which is like a bit of wood, like a little. It's like a sort of a badge insignia kind of thing. Get your woggle and your toggle on. Yeah, I think so.
What badges did you get? Do you remember?
Oh, I was good.
I think we may have talked about this before.
No, you might have mentioned. I can't really remember, but I was definitely.
I don't either.
More your art.
You
want to
get first aid. First aid.
You get first aid. You do art and craft. You would do outside activity. Knot tying was a big one. Big one. And kayaking. We did a lot of kayaking. As I've pointed out before, my dad's 84 and he's still got two kayaks in the garage. So. That's handy.
So let's just go in reference to saluting. The Cubs was a two-fingered victory sign, was it not?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Dip, 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 dob, dob, dob.
The Cubs, and I think they... Did you go up to your... Did you touch your hat or did you just hold it out to the side?
It was... Then
two fingers.
Yeah. It was sort of like two fingers. Yep. Then you progressed a bit different. Scouts was a bit different and then Ventures and Scouts.
Yeah, Scouts was three fingers holding
that's
on
right.
The other finger.
That's right. Yeah. I'm doing it now.
And
I
think it was. I'm doing it now. I don't know whether you can see that. No, here. But you didn't do that. You didn't put it up to your head, because the brim of the hat, the brim of the scout hat, was quite broad, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was more a salute. So more a salute than a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because the Cubs touched the head because the Cub cap was quite only had a little peak on it, and the scout had quite a broad brim. The Americans, their salute was sort of tilted.
And it's different,
you touched the front of the head, whereas the British salute was kind of like you held it sort of up, sort of flat and open.
Yeah.
And then, that's right, and you would, but the Americans go, you know how you're reminded of it? It's when the American president gets off the helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
And then tries to look like he knows what he's doing when he does a salute. The first time he does it, it's always a bit embarrassing watching the president do the salute, because you're going, what is he, commander in chief? So he's got a salute to the, what is he doing? I don't know what he's doing.
And the Nazi salute is different again. So that was way up in the air, wasn't it? That was really.
Well, I think we talked about this one before, because the Nazi swastika. What do I say? Do I say that wrong?
Yeah.
How do you say it?
Swastika. There's no sh.
Swastika.
Swastika.
Yeah. No sh. Swastika. Yeah.
That's it.
That was stolen, was it not, from Indonesia?
India. It was Hindu. Hindu.
Yeah. Was the Zing Heil, is that what you call it? Was that his?
Yeah, Heil Hitler. I think he invented that one. Pretty sure
he
invented
that. So
he
had two versions of it. You had the full thrust.
And then the little one. The little one. You see more.
Then you had the little one, which was a little flick. Flick at the shoulder.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it now. I'm doing it now.
In the car park.
In the car. And I'm getting strange looks. I was reminded of it.
To be fair, you are in a very white area of Melbourne, so it could go over all right.
Absolutely.
Down there.
Yeah.
Good one. Well said, Glenn. Yeah.
This is they have an Anglo-Saxon machine that pumps them out down the air, and they just set them free.
What was I going to say?
Oh, Larry David. Did you see the episode where his friend had a dog,
dog
was trying to attack him, and the only thing that would stop him would if he did the Hitler salute.
Yes.
And I think he had to say Zing Heil too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Heil Hitler.
Yeah, I remember that. Very funny. But it is funny. I mean, your dad was in the Air Force. I remember my dad saluting in the Air Force when he'd see, because my dad was a warrant officer. So if he saw anyone above that rank, he would salute. And it's like an instant reaction. It's so funny when you see your dad salute someone.
So in other words, you're saying after it was all, you're talking about like...
Oh, when he was in the reserves. So he would be in the reserves.
You would be there to see him do it?
We got dragged along to functions or Christmas parties or whatever. And then they had the best Christmas party. The Santa, it was on the Laverton Air Base. Santa came down in a helicopter
And oh, that's good.
Gave our presents. And then Trevor, my brother, who was would have been about 15 at the time, he absconded from the party and rode his skateboard on the tarmac.
Oh, fantastic.
So these MPs arrested him.
Oh, that's so good.
Put him in the jail they've got there, and Dad had to go get him out of the...
That's so good.
Oh, no, it's so funny.
But yeah, worth it for that. To ride a skateboard on a tarmac would be,
pretty exciting. But to see Kev, you don't remember your dad ever saluting anyone?
I never saw him salute. No, he never. He didn't even do a mock version of it. The only thing my dad used to do was he'd get the vacuum cleaner cord, the hose, and he would hang it around his neck and pretend he was the Lord Mayor, and he would declare it a public holiday, and he would do it every time he vacuumed, and it was like never stopped being funny. It was always good. I declare it a public holiday. But also
because my dad was a scout leader, he obviously loved saluting and uniforms and all that. So I may be getting mixed up with him doing the scout salute, which I saw a lot too, obviously. But I definitely saw him in his Air Force uniform saluting people. Because I think it's a different it's a different hand, is it? No, scouts is right hand. I think that's the same hand.
I think scouts shake hands with their left hand, don't they?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We do. We do. Scout handshake. Yeah. That's right. We do.
I like the way you say we do. So basically, a salute is a gesture of respect.
Yeah. Definitely.
So where does the 21-gun salute fall into that realm? I think if it's an odd number, it's like a 21, that's a gesture of respect. Yeah. But if it's an even number, you know that's for mourning?
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's why it's a 21-gun salute as opposed to a 20-gun salute. And it's something to do with, I think it started on the ships or something. So I guess as you're leaving or coming in or heading off or something, they give you a 21-gun salute.
Would you get sick as a general of people saluting you all the time? You know, you kept saying, at ease, men, at ease. That's what they always say, at ease, men. Would you get sick of that?
At ease.
Would you sing that?
You'd be getting off on the power, wouldn't you? You'd be loving the power. Aye, aye, Captain. Yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
Sir, yes, sir. And the British used to do it, and the hand we got, it sort of snap up and sort of quiver. It was being held so firmly.
Yeah.
Whereas the Americans were kind of like, you know,
cooler. See
footage of, what's his name? Who came out? Who was the general that came out to Australia during the Second World War? What was his name? Doesn't matter.
That's a really good question.
Yeah, was it MacArthur? No.
He was quite popular here, wasn't he?
Very popular. But he was the one, he was the cool guy going around giving everyone the American salute, you know, and everyone's just going, oh, that's just the coolest salute of all. And if I was going to salute someone now, as I do on occasion, if I see someone I don't know their name, I'll salute and point. I'll do the salute and point. You may see it on the Have You Been Paying Attention promo that they play occasionally.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Pang is saluting and pointing at the camera. I have you know that I had done it earlier in the night and I had got an answer correct. I'd saluted and pointed and Sam stole that move. He stole the move.
Yeah.
I'm happy to say that to his face.
Doesn't surprise me.
From my move now, you know.
Also, he claims that I stole this one off him when I always talk about his TV shows. I go, "How's your little show going?" Which is a put down. and then he goes, he claims I invented it, but I actually stole it off him because he used to say to me, "How's your little gigs going?" And I'd say, "How's your little show going?" The classic one is, "I didn't watch your little show. I didn't watch it. But my friend saw it, said it was good." MacArthur.
Your little comedy show. Your little comedy show. It was good.
It was MacArthur who came out here during the war. That's right, it was General MacArthur.
It was MacArthur.
Yeah, you're right.
Me.
Yeah, he was popular.
You're right.
Yeah. Hang on, what's the yoga thing? Salute the sun. Isn't it when you salute the yoga?
Salute to the sun. Yes, it is. Salute to the sun. Which is about, I don't know, 8 moves or something, 10 moves. Yeah, and then you, that's of course, that was, I was doing Salute to the Sun when I did yoga with Sting. Of course, I'm not going to tell that story again, but Sting, if you're listening, I haven't forgotten. And
hey, he hasn't forgotten. Sorry about that.
No, he hasn't forgotten.
What's that noise? Is that the police coming?
That was my car talking to me, letting me know that it's gone off from standby to shut down. I just got out of my car before to buy the sandwich and it wouldn't lock.
Oh.
And I go, why won't it lock? Why won't it lock? Because it was still running. The engine was still running.
Oh, wow.
Thousands of that.
Yeah, but it's a new car. It's very quiet probably, so you didn't know.
Yeah, but just embarrassing. I was at the petrol station too, so, you know, you got to know what you're doing with the petrol station. Medieval night.
You're buying sandwiches from the petrol station. Is that what you're doing?
No, I think we all know that you can get a higher quality sandwich. David Jones does a very good David Jones sells petrol now. Your top-end petrol with your top-end food.
That is, I on the way to your house, I went to that service station. That was the only David Jones service station I'd ever been to, ever in my life. I'd never seen one of those.
I'm Bayside, you know.
Jones.
Whereas you're more your bohemian north side.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get more of a health food store or, some sort of weird, you know, nut shop or something. Whereas here, get David Jones freshly cut sandwiches. And I can get a bunch of flowers. I can get oil if I need it.
I can get
a meal for the night.
I went in there and bought some groceries while I was there. It was good. Yeah, it was good.
Stung you. Fairly hefty price.
Expensive, that's right. All I can get around here is a kombucha and a milk crate. That's all we got around here.
Chivalry, isn't that what medieval knights are famous for?
They had a code of chivalry, yeah, that's for sure. And you would start off, now I know all this from Game of Thrones, which I know you don't.
I thought you would. Here we go.
Yeah, because you don't like the dragon.
I'll just sit back.
What's your dragon impression again? You do a good dragon.
That one.
That's very good.
My point was, as soon as I see a dragon in a shark, I'm out of there. And if he's got flames coming out of his mouth, I'm bang, gone. See ya. Not interested.
Well, nah. don't watch Game of Thrones, but it is set in medieval sort of times and, in an alternative universe. And you start off as a knight, you start off as a page, which is a young, like an 11, 12, 13-year-old is like an apprentice. And then you become a squire when you're around a teenager. And then you become a knight after that, I believe. But knights were employed by lords and to protect their land. They're professional fighters, basically, a knight, a professional fighter.
There'd be a group of knights, that would go and fight another group of knights over. They'd still be soldiers or, cause like in, what was that one? Braveheart?
He was
a knight, wasn't he?
Was he a knight?
Was he a knight?
William Wallace.
William Wallace. Yeah. Who were the famous knights? You got your Richard Lionheart.
Oh yeah.
You got your, King Arthur. Knights around the table. You know that's not true, though.
I know.
None of that stuff's true. That's the great stuff about it. You just make that shit up, you know. who pulled the sword out of the stone? Who was that? Was that King Arthur?
Yeah, that was one of the, that story. But they don't reckon it's true, that story. You know, so if only I was Gideon Hay, I could pull, something out of the wall and reference it. But I think I only got kids' books. But William Wallace wasn't. He was a Scottish knight, William Wallace, the old Braveheart.
Yes, he was.
They were known for their code of chivalry. And also, when they got captured, I remember reading, because the kids have got books on knights. When they were captured, they were treated with respect. But they're like an officer, sort of. But the archers and stuff, the guys that shot the arrows, and they were just killed and just slaughtered. But the knights were kept.
Oh, I see. So, they were up. They were upgraded in their punishment. They were upgraded in the way they were treated.
There was a code of knights. Who would you be in the medieval world, like in the Game of Thrones world? Who would you? What sort of position do you reckon you'd have? I reckon I'd be in Game of Thrones as a character called Sam, who's a fat guy, who's supposed to sort of be. He's sent to the wall to be a knight, but he's not very good. He's too fat, and so he ends up working in the library, kind of with the books. He's a smart guy. I reckon I'd be that guy. I reckon you'd be a knight. You got good hair and good posture for a knight. You'd be like I know you don't know anything, but you'd be like Jamie Lannister. He's like a knight in the.
There was a knight in one of those Disney movies, and I must admit, I had his hair and I had his jawline. I think it was a knight with a. Maybe no, it wasn't a knight. It was a prince. Was it prince? I have princely hair.
You don't look a bit unlike Jamie Lannister, who is known as a very good fighter. He's a knight, but there is one small problem though with him. He sleeps with his sister, so that's the only issue you've got there, Glenn.
That's wrong, is it? You shouldn't do that. No, sleeps with his sister. Is that jump on the shark? Did they run out of ideas? Oh God, what's going on?
That was in episode one.
Did he know that it was his sister?
Of course he did.
So
he was in this really tall tower, and this kid climbed up and saw them doing the thing. And so he pushed the kid out.
So I didn't realize that it was his sister. I mean, we just have a bit of a wrestle, you know.
you can't do that.
You're not gonna, you know. Well, and so
he's good looking. He's funny.
So if you and I were knight or something, we would. Do they do any jousting? Jousting in Game of Thrones, do they?
Oh, I don't know if they do jousting, but they do a bit of that sort of. So when the knights would have a break from fighting in wars, they would put on these shows for the peasants and the king and stuff, and they'd still get killed. So that, you know, sort of like the gladiators did in those times, the knights would put on a show, and that's where they did the jousting. Yeah, which was quite dangerous.
I know why the knights died out.
Oh,
because
why?
They invented this really sophisticated crossbow. I forget what it was called. It's got a special name.
And a piece of armor.
And they could kill three knights in sort of like go bang, bang, bang. It's kind of like a really sophisticated crossbow. And it was kind of like, you know, we can't. I mean, it must have been pretty good to go through it. Have you ever worn armor?
No, have you ever worn armor?
Yeah, I did it in that TV show we did for Foxtel, whatever it was called. Big Slather. What was it called?
Open Slather.
Open Slather. Big Slather.
Big Slather.
No, I did Big Girls Blouse. That was the one I was thinking. I mean, understandably, really heavy. Hard to move around in. But I got to admit, it felt pretty good. It felt, really? You know. Yeah, you know, invincible. You go, give us the best shot because I got you covered on this one, you know. Well,
think about when you go to some of these museums, they've got full original knight's armors in some of the French museums. And admittingly, they're smaller than us. They're shorter than us because it's so long ago. But they look pretty formidable. And you'd have to say that not much would pierce the armor. It looks very heavy, though. Was it really heavy when you wore it?
I've got to be honest. I can't remember. I dare say it was. I don't think it was real. It would have been some sort of one for the sketch window. I don't think it was the real deal.
No.
But Ned Kelly's was incredibly heavy too, wasn't it? Because that was like a lead plate and that lead. And that would have been hard work. But all right. So what else do we know? Anything else? Good blokes. Did the king, their country, their church. They protected the weak. They protected their king, and they were brave in adversity.
And I assume they were
on a knight.
They were still like the rock stars of their day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They would have been the rock stars of their day. So kids would have had posters of them on the wall. You know, like or swap cards with the knights on them. Would have been cool. Everyone probably wanted to be a knight. I reckon you want to be a knight.
Yeah. Well, or a prince. But I dare say during that period it would have been a knight, and it would have been...
Well, knights did tend to come from wealthier families, but some of them worked their way up as pages and then squires. You could work your way up as a knight if you were from a poorer family and prove yourself. And then, you know, and then once you prove yourself, the king will give you land and stuff to protect, you know, and you protect him.
That's what they were paid with land, weren't they?
Yeah, they're sort of like mercenaries in some ways. Yeah, really.
You do wonder how they went to the toilet.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it does cross your mind because, you know, it's hard enough as it is now. I mean, obviously, it's hard for men. Well, I mean, what's that meshy stuff they used to have on? Their pants were made out of
that mesh stuff. Yeah.
And then you have a flap over the top of that. And then, you know, God forbid if you had to, you know, do something else.
Oh,
you wouldn't be, you wouldn't be able to sit down, and you know, you wouldn't be able to.
You have to hold on, I think. You have to just hold on.
Yeah, yeah. Like, retreat. Why? Oh, I need you. I need you to go to the toilet.
I need to go to the toilet. Oh yeah.
Okay. I'm getting an inkling, I reckon.
What
do you need? We should have some thinking music. What are you thinking? What are you thinking about thinking music?
Well, we could do the Knights of Gee or whatever it is, the Monty Python sketch, or
yeah, I never really liked that sketch that much, but the Knights of Knee. And then there's that sketch where the knight fights the other guy and he chops all his, you know,
arms off. Yeah.
Just a flesh wound.
Or there's always Hitler stuff out there. Not one of his speeches.
There's like Hogan's a theme from Hogan's Heroes or one of those, you know.
One of the greatest shows ever. Yeah.
Yeah. You go.
There's big train sketches with Hitler in it. There's a very funny one where he goes to the publishers looking at Mein Kampf. We've talked about Mein Kampf before here.
That's funny. So Hitler takes his book along to a publisher. And tries to get a sale. That's good.
But by memory, I don't think Hitler even speaks in the sketch. His mate does all the speaking, which is Simon Pegg, who of course now is very famous. But he's in all the Mission Impossible films now.
Big Train. It's up there with one of the greatest sketch series ever created.
Yeah, fantastic.
They were absolutely fantastic. I'd love to hear that. That'd be great. All
right, let's hear that.
So you wrote it in jail. Why were you in jail?
Broke a few windows.
It's a big one, isn't it?
What was it called again? It's Mein Kampf. What was that? Is it Mein Kampf, is it?
No, it's My Struggle.
Right.
What do you think?
I have to say, it's not very PC, is it?
He hates all that stuff.
I thought, seriously, there's lots in it I liked, but some of it I would have to say is borderline racist.
Yeah.
Wish I could be more positive. It's just that if we put it out as is, we'd get into a lot of trouble, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Can we do two versions, like a racist version and then a non-racist version?
How would you feel about that, Adolf? You wouldn't be happy with that.
I think he likes the racist version. Although I personally, I don't think it is racist.
We'd love to take it, but
just not really our thing.
Our style. Thank you very much for coming in, and all the best.
What's that you're doing there?
He's writing your names in his little black book.
I hope he's not going to hold a grudge against us.
Ah, yes, very funny.
Simon Pegg, you're right. Very
Simon Pegg.
Very funny.
It's done very well.
You're going to do two versions of it. They're going to do the lawn racist version and the racist version. That's very good.
I like it. Why is he writing stuff down in his book? Have I talked about before? I used to do stand up about how, which I looked this up, Hitler was a local member. So people don't realize that Hitler was actually elected and he was someone's local member for a short time in Germany. So you know how you've got your local member, whoever. Yeah. I've got Jed Keeney, or she used to be the head of the ACTU. And so imagine people in Hitler's local area ringing up to make a complaint about the pothole in the road or whatever. Hitler's people. Yeah, he's a bit busy at the moment. Yeah, well, I know. He's not fixing the potholes in the road, is he? You want to complain? Not old Hitler. Anyway.
I pay my rates, you know. I didn't get my rubbish collected again this week. Yeah. I mean, seriously, right, what's going on?
Well, look, Adolf's concerned. He's going to send some people over to talk to you. Oh, good. I'll wait for them.
I'll give him a piece of my mind.
My dad Kev, who's been on the podcast, is one of those people who does that, who rings up and rings up the council about rubbish on the road and stuff. Just one of those people. Oh god. All right, so what do you reckon it is?
I reckon the salute, because it's a look of respect, I reckon if it's happened during medieval times, I reckon it's a gesture going, have a look at this. I don't have a weapon in my hand. Oh, so you're holding your hand open.
Yeah, that's like, you know what I mean? Yeah, we've done it before. That's like handshaking, isn't it? Yeah, right.
Yeah. So you're going, look, nothing in my hand, nothing. And so therefore, and this is my right hand, nothing, I'm not going to attack you. I come in peace. I come with respect. So I reckon it's a gesture of, I am not of threat to you.
I was just going to go more basic and say it was just more the knights were the first ones to salute. They invented saluting. I don't know why, but they were just the first ones to do it. And then it took off in the military world. There we go. So I think the Romans saluted. I think the Vikings saluted. I think the knights were the ones who invented it.
So you think it's kind of like a bit of a wave?
Yeah.
Hi, how you going? G'day.
Hey. All right. People would be saluting them because they were sort of like officers. But anyway, yeah, what's the answer, Sam?
The modern salute, i.e. raising your hand to your forehead, was introduced by medieval knights, when knights used their hands to raise their visors, revealing their identity to demonstrate they were friendly. The salute isn't simply an honor exchanged, it's a privileged gesture of respect and trust among military members.
We were both sort of right.
Well, it was a gesture of respect, but because I forgot they had the face guards on. Because a salute with the face guard down doesn't make sense, but you're lifting up the face guard, you're holding your face guard up, you're going, hey, look at my face. I'm smiling, I'm friendly. Hello, how you going?
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
I wonder though, so therefore, if you took your hand down, would your face guard fall down again?
Probably heavy. They're probably very heavy made of steel.
So that's why you're holding, is that why you're holding it up there?
Yeah, maybe.
And they go, relax, soldier, or whatever it is.
Take your hand
at ease, and it would fall back down again.
Yeah, wow.
Do you reckon saluting would ever make given COVID, this is interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Can't shake hands anymore.
We salute.
Why don't you and I start
saluting
and just see if it takes off. That's a good idea.
Can I do any salute? Can I do the Heil Hitler? Or you think that's a bit too full on?
You can do a Heil Hitler. I'm going to go to sleep with a point on it.
Yeah.
You know, because you have to find something to do. Like touching elbows feels so stupid to me.
Oh, that's stupid.
You've got to find something to do to replace that moment where you shake hands.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave. Yeah. This is Chris. Chris, this is Dave. At the moment, it's just like, oh, how you going, Chris? Oh, good. Thanks, Dave. Whereas if you could both salute each other and go, I'm doing the COVID salute.
I like it.
The COVID salute.
COVID salute.
COVID salute. That's
up good. That's up there with flat balls. You've come up with something else again. You're a genius.
Yeah.
COVID salute.
Yep, no, I mean, it's great. And it's just, I can imagine, yeah, I think I might, I've been in contact with Daniel Andrews.
I know, right? you did your Cal Knight, he's a Premier of Victoria, you did the Cal Knight video for him. So,
I rang him though, he didn't ring me. I did ring him and said, I rang him.
At any point, did you speak to actual him or you just got his aides on the phone, like his assistants?
No, did I didn't speak to him.
No.
Hang on. He didn't get to speak to me. Get it right, Dave. He didn't get to speak.
But
to
do you
me.
Reckon in the day of a state premier, he's getting all these boring phone calls from the health minister, and they say Glenn Robbins on line one. You reckon he'd pick up, wouldn't you? You know what I mean?
Well, you reckon he would. Yeah.
Well, he said, "I say, so you know, Glenn Robbins, pick up. Magda Sabansi, pick up. Sam Pang, probably pick up. I'd say that's a pick up."
As soon as Sam started talking, though, he'd probably cut it pretty short because Sam can be a bit harsh. We all know that.
Yeah, he's going to put me down. But see, Dave O'Neill, I reckon he'd go, who's Dave O'Neill? He's a comedian.
He'd know exactly. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. They all know who you are.
Oh, I've done a gig. I've done a gig with him before, actually. You're right. I did the Lawn Bowls Association gig and he was sitting down the front. On a Sunday morning.
Really?
Yeah, no easy. It's his local. It's his local lawn bowls pub out in the east, and so was a Melbourne. Yeah, he was there, and he was sitting down the front. He was good sport. Certainly got into it. Good on him.
So what you're basically saying is that if it was medieval, you and I would be knights.
No, I think you'd be a knight. I'd be like a squire. I'd be helping you out. I'd be getting the horse.
I think, yeah. Well, you were a court jester that day. You're one of the trusted few, you know.
Yeah, but for a start, I'm too fat to be a knight. You know what I mean? I can't get on the horse that well.
You'd have to have a specially tailored outfit. You'd have to
I see you on the stallion of me on a donkey behind you. Just
yeah, I'd have my hair flowing, but you'd be the smart guy of the pair. You'd be telling me how to do it and what to do.
I'd be strategy. I'd be onto the strategy of the battlefield and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd say this stuff like, don't go in too quick. Just let the other guys go first. we'd stand on the hill as the battle's going on. I'd go, right, I reckon go now.
I reckon you'd be eating chicken legs while you're chicken legs or bits of meat or something, you know, you'd be, and I wouldn't be able to hear you properly because you'd be going, hey, hang on, I'll just finish my bloody bit of roast pork.
Oh, God, I'd be so quickly to retreat in the battlefield, but anyway.
Where's Dave? Where's Dave?
He's at the buffet.
He's gone back to the library. He's back in the library.
/ buffet. Mm.